Thank you so much. You guys can be seated. Gosh, I'll be honest with you, Love is Fierce. I've heard that song a lot. I had all the words wrong when I sang it in my car. First of all, I thought it was Love is Here. I didn't even know. That song is even better once you know the words. It is fantastic. I'm going to repurpose these. We actually used these for communion last week. And a funny thing about last week's communion, several people came up to me since the end of that service, and because we did communion a little bit differently, we did intinction last week, had a lot of people that I found out were making escape plans because they thought they were going to have to share a cup of grape juice with the entire congregation. I think honestly, had I just said that's what we're going to do, we would have lost half of us. Of course, that's less people to share, less germs in the cup. But hopefully, I also had a lot of people express that they enjoyed the communion service last week. I hope that you always enjoy a communion service because it is an opportunity to worship and to experience Jesus and remember him in a very personal way. I want to tell you, I really appreciate you being here this morning. I know it's Labor Day. There's a lot of folks that are away, but I really appreciate you being in here and just being faithful to what's going on. We are beginning a series that we're calling Open Doors, and today, the door that we want to open, the conversation that we want to have, and where we want to hear from God's Word is about something that I think probably gets away from all of us. I think as a, and probably, you know, maybe we could even just say as a culture, I would say that probably most of us, and maybe you would admit it, how many people in here this morning would say that on the average day, maybe especially today, that you are exhausted, you're tired? Anybody? Just as I said that, I saw like seven yawns, okay? And some of you, or maybe you Sunday morning here that we keep, maybe you're used to being in a church where the lights are just bright and you can see everything. You're like, hey, you know, I like that church because I found my dark spot. And when I sit in that spot, I don't think Derek knows that I sleep. I do. I'm just waiting on the right Sunday to get you. And if you're brave enough to sleep in this church, oh, bless your heart, because you got to know by now you don't know what could happen. But I think most of us, and I don't know, I think for me personally, a lot of my tiredness comes from what I try to take on and what I try to put my hands into and I try to jump into. And it's funny when you really think of how busy we get. A lot of times, if you're like me, you feel like you're doing something, maybe not at the last second, but you feel like you're rushed a lot of times when you're doing what you're doing. You feel like there's always something that's coming next. There's never really that time that you're just aiming at to say, that's when I'm going to be able to relax. A good point for me was this morning, as we're sitting here, and now bear in mind, I've been studying on the idea of just rest and Sabbath and everything and trying to prepare for this message, and got to this morning and realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I finally said, okay, God, I think, you know, through your Holy Spirit and my creative weirdness, we got a name here for the series, and I got here this morning, I was like, I totally forgot to make some kind of logo for the opening slide, so in my unrest and in my rush, I developed this in about 4 minutes, so if you don't like it, you're not going to offend me, we'll just change it for next week. But I do think that most of us, we really need to learn from God's Word how important He takes our rest. I don't know about you, but I realize at this point in my life, for sure, I'm not my best tired. Now, when I was going through school, especially when I was in seminary, all of our work for the week would be due on Sunday night by midnight, which seemed really odd. We're in seminary, and they were making us work essentially on a Sunday. But it was due by Sunday at midnight. And because my week was so hectic, my work flowed into my weekend, and it took up not just a little bit, but it took up hours and hours and hours and hours, and I was working late at night, and I was a lot of times clicking a submit button at 10 minutes before the deadline and just trying to get it done, only then to just, you know, fall and just crash because I had to wake up early for a Monday morning meeting at the job that I was working at the time, and it was an exceptionally early meeting. I was doing a sales job, and it felt like it just rushed in again. I don't think any of us are at our best when we're tired, and especially we're not our best when we're exhausted. A lot of times our emotions kick into overdrive when we get exhausted. We make some of our most rash decisions, and we make some of our most maybe unwise comments when we get strained, we get emotionally tired. But see, God, even in creation, realized that his creation was not wired to both know him and run on a short fuse. I know for me, one of my indicators of how short my fuse is at a given time, because I'm tired, I'm exhausted, is how I respond to my kids. You know, when I just hit them with just a quick, sharp comment on the way over here this morning, I had too many things going on in my mind, and I wasn't just choosing to focus on just this morning and just the simple things that were ahead of me. I was trying to jump ahead into, you know, later today, into this week. And my oldest son was riding with me, and he turned something on, and it was loud, fast, and I just jumped at him. So just turn it off, turn it down. I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to think about something, and that's just a show of where I was at the time. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about this idea of Sabbath. Before I do that, I got a card from the Buller family. It says, God shows his love through the warmth and the kindness and special people like you. Thank you and God bless you, both from the Buller family and also Belinda's brother Denny that passed away, Donald that passed away this past week. They had a funeral for him yesterday, so continue to pray for them. Also Caleb and Katie are at the hospital. I'm not going to say they have their baby because Katie just had it. Caleb didn't have it. But they're in the hospital this morning. They just had their baby, and just a lot of other requests. Sherry Yarborough, who is attending here some, her husband passed away a few weeks ago. And I know there's a lot of things going on. So just connect with each other, be in prayer for all the needs that are going on. We're going to be mainly in Hebrews 4. Then we're going to kind of take some steps outside of that. To really try to understand and open this door of what this Sabbath rest is supposed to be. Because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, when I heard the word Sabbath and I was told that, hey, you know, there's certain things you couldn't do on Sunday. Was anybody ever told that anybody ever ridden in a car on Sunday and your parents or your grandparents or whoever you're with would make comments about people that were doing just sinful stuff like mowing their yard and stuff like that? Like, it was, oh my gosh, they're mowing their yard. That thing's probably going to quit this week, right? You know, that expect for your mower to just collapse, you know, if you mow on Sunday. And then it was, you know, what can we do on Sunday? What can't we do? We're supposed to relax, but can I relax on a boat on a Sunday? Because Jesus was on a boat. And maybe that's God's word telling me I need to buy a boat and go relax on a boat on Sunday. And a lot of times, you know, we're missing some really simple concepts that I want to make sure that we try to hit this morning. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to go into three things that are going to try to help us to understand Sabbath. And it's interesting, in this passage in chapter 4, it's almost if the writer here is trying to wrestle a little bit with understanding fully Sabbath and try to focus on really what it means, because even as we have an inspired writing here, it's jumping back and forth, and it's pulling from a reference out of Psalms, it's pulling from a reference out of Genesis, it's pulling from some different things. So when we read it, it almost seems kind of confusing, so we just kind of step aside from it and go, well, okay, you know, Sabbath rest is probably really just something for the Old Testament. But we find out really quickly in verse 1 that it's really for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says this, therefore, while the promise to enter his rest remains, the promise remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. Basically this, the Sabbath is not a new concept. It's been preached before. The problem is people that are not linked in faith to God for us through Jesus, when they hear this concept of resting in him, it just sounds like it just doesn't make sense. It may be a nap on Sunday, but there's not this further meaning to what rest and restoration is really supposed to be like. It says, for we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he had said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. There's actually places, and when you look through Scripture, we're going to look at one a little bit this morning, where as God's people in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when they would disobey him, when they went into slavery in Egypt, when they went into bondage, different times in their history, they would lose the chance because of who was over them to be able to rest and take a Sabbath because of their disobedience to God. It was something that they would lose. It says, and yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again, that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he specifies a certain day. Today, speaking through David, after such a long time as previously stated, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Basically, what that just means is, in the Old Testament, it wasn't Joshua who gave the people rest. It was really God that was giving them rest. He was just the vehicle that brought it about. It says, for the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things were naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. The first thing I want to look at this morning is these two words. And I want to encourage you this morning maybe to jot down some things that just kind of God catches your mind and your hearts with, because, again, I don't want you to look at the Sabbath and his rest as we are locked into this, well, it's all about what I do on my Sunday. That's not what God's after for us. God is after these two words, and they're going to be on the screen. Those two words are these: rest and restore. Rest and restore. I don't know about you, but I have days off. I have vacations that I take. But how many times do you have a day off or you take a vacation and you come back probably more exhausted than when you started it? Right? So this is not about a vacation. This is not about a specific day of the week. This is about a concept that God wants to wire into us as followers of Jesus, that we must rest and restore. Now, basically, this is the idea. In the Old Testament, we see that God did what on the seventh day? He rested. He created for 6 days. It was good. It was done. And then he said, I rest from what I did. The idea is this. God, as he talked about this thought, this theory of how to rest and restore, he specifically just said, look, I'm just going to make it simple for you. I'm going to tell you this day you got to do it. Because he knew that we would just basically work through it. These were people that were raising crops and herding animals. You ever known any farmers? You know how hard it is to get a farmer to take a vacation? Right? That's impossible. Candy's about to testify back there about her husband. My wife's grandfather and a lot of her uncles farm in Siler City. And I've heard the conversations and talking about doing different things. And it's funny because, a conversation will come up about a vacation and you'll see something like that. You'll see a wife going, just kind of throw her hands up like, what's that? And I got curious. I asked. We didn't go on vacation when I was a kid because sometimes we were broke. So I said, why don't you go on vacation? Y'all seem like you got enough money. And the explanation was, well, there's always something to do. There's always work to be done. You can't just stop working. And God said, look, just take this day. In fact, it's the fourth commandment. He said, take this day. Because he knew that we would bypass it. Well, there's a few things, and if you want to jot these down as you can, I want to give you a few things that should come from us when we rest and restore. Not take a break, not take a nap, but rest and restore. These are some things that should come out. These are not going to be on the screen, but you can jot these down if you'd like to. Number one, we should have an opportunity to ask questions. The important questions to God. God, what do my finances need to look like right now? What do my relationships need to look like? Where do I need to be aiming my life right now? So many times, I don't know about you, but I don't get answers to big enough questions because I don't take time enough to tackle bigger questions. I'm getting answers to small questions when I don't rest and restore because I don't have time for God to speak to me about the big ones. A few months ago, when I was going through the process and I was interviewing with the search team here and looking at trying to figure out where God wanted me to go, and at the same time, there were two other churches that had called me and interviewed with them, and we talked to them and everything, and I hit a point in my life where I was just like, God, I'm busy. I'm still working just as hard. I was doing ministry and I was trying to stay faithful at it, and I was really struggling because, like, God, I don't see direction coming into my heart and into my life. Until finally, I just threw some good advice of some people, and finally, Wendy just told me, she was like, hey, I'm just letting you know, you're taking some time off right now. Because I was so busy, I couldn't get answers to bigger questions than what my time was allowing for. See, why do I expect God to answer my big questions on my small timeline? When he says, hey, rest and restore. Take time to ask me and let me speak to you. That takes time for those conversations. Real important questions. It was funny yesterday, though, on a non-essential quote. You think about what's important, what's not. It's funny. One of the funniest questions I've been asked lately. Me and one of my sons were coming up here to church yesterday, and we were getting ready to, you know, just get some stuff done, getting ready for the funeral. And we stopped by the Shell station over on that's at the corner of 150 and Jackson School Road. And there's a little basket beside where the register is, right in front of the lottery tickets. Didn't buy lottery tickets, in case you wonder. Not even going to tell you where I stand on that. There's a basket. Hey, if you win the lottery, let's all tithe. So there's this basket and it had these bones in it. It just had a little sign and a little cutout sign that said dog bones. And my son picked it up. He went, hey, Dad, look at this. And then he just threw it back in the basket and stepped away. I was, what's wrong with you? He was like, for a dog, from a dog. It's just, I was like, yes, he has my mind. It's awesome. God bless his teachers this year. But we should have time. If we rest and restore, we should have time to ask questions, and we should have time to get answers. We should experience a feeling of freedom. We should take a break. We should stop some things. We should feel refreshed. And we should know more deeply that Jesus is Lord. Now, I want to look at that in a couple areas. In Exodus, let's talk about the freedom for a second. In Exodus 16, and I heard this actually mentioned this past week in a movie that I went and saw, The Insanity of God. If you didn't get a chance to see The Insanity of God, whenever it reshows, or whether it's when it's available to show, you have got to see that movie. But I heard something in the movie just grabbed my attention, and as I was studying this, I started thinking about it. You know, God gave the children of Israel, gave his people, gave the world this idea of rest and restoration. He established it in creation, right? But then through disobedience, the children of Israel got trapped into slavery for hundreds of years. One of the very first things that he did after he freed them from slavery was he said, look, I want to reestablish this thing of rest and restoration in you because you're free now. And you should experience freedom in taking time and stopping what you're doing to just realize that I will provide for you, and I want to speak to you, and I want to breathe life into you, and I want you to be able to make it through 6/7 of your week by just dedicating 1/7 to me. It was one of the first things that he reestablished with them. He told them exactly how he was going to provide in advance to take care of that day. And that's really what Sabbath rest is. It's understanding that God can do more for me in 1/7 of my time than I can accomplish in 6/7 of my time. And it's counterintuitive to what our culture tells us. We're just work, you know, go harder, schedule more, do all this. The only way you will get more done is to schedule more, to be more tech savvy so you can network on your phone. You got to send more messages, you got to do all this stuff. And God actually says, you want to accomplish greater things than rest. And you ought to feel free to do that. And a spirit of freedom comes in that rest. In Exodus 31, God says this. It says, the Lord said to Moses, take the Israelites and tell them, you must observe my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you throughout the generations, so that you will know that I am Yahweh who sets you apart. I am Lord. He says, if you take this rest and you rest in me, there will be moments where through the restoration that I give you and this literally breathing life into you, he says, you're going to know that I'm Lord because I'm going to provide even in that time when you're doing nothing and I'm doing everything. He said, I want to let you know that I'm Lord. Verse 17 in that same chapter talks about what God achieved in his day of rest. It says in verse 17 that he rested and was refreshed. I don't know about you, but I'd love to feel refreshed right now. I was up here this morning and a lot of stuff was going on and somebody asked me an amazing question. They said, you want a Mountain Dew? Absolutely. Right? Because I wanted to suck 20 ounces of golden caffeine into my body as fast as I could. Why? Because hopefully it would give me a little bit of energy. It would give me a little something. And that's the problem. It's not just Mountain Dew, but we're constantly looking for something to give us just enough energy to just get by with what we're doing. And that is exhausting, right? I mean, are you not exhausted with so many things and you just feel frustrated so many times? We're just tired people. But that's not the design that God has laid out for us. If we take his rest, we have time to ask questions. We should feel a spirit of freedom. When it says that he rested, that literally means that he stopped what he was doing. Rest in Jesus Christ is going to require us to stop what we're doing. I'm not trying to tell you this is easy. This is probably one of the things of sermons in the past, at least since I've been here, this is one of the things that I have struggled studying because I struggle because I know that I don't do this well. I don't just stop what's going on to say, God, I need to spend some time talking to you. I need to ask you some questions. I need to read your word some and just pray, and I need to stop what it was I'm doing. Now, you may say, I just can't stop everything. Here's some practical advice. Consider stopping like this. If you have a job that is very physically taxing, stop and just rest physically while you're trying to do some of these things. Spend some time in prayer. Listen to a podcast. Listen to some worship music. Just say out loud the questions as you're just resting there in your mind or just, you know, quietly. You know, God, I'm worried over this. God, speak to me about this. If you have a job that is just mentally taxing, your mind is racing, then stop that and do something physical. Do physical labor and use that as a rest for your mind, but exercise for your body. And through that, do the same kind of things. If you work hard, engage your mind. Read something. Read a book. Read a book that pours into you what God's Word says. Read the Bible. Read a devotion. Stop what you're doing and engage that other part of you, but in rest so God can restore. See, God's not calling us to be lazy. Please don't get me wrong. God is not calling us to be lazy. I get irritated with laziness. God's not calling us to be lazy. He's called us to be fresh. And we don't get that unless we rest and restore. The second thing I want to look at is this. Sabbath is our priority. Have you ever heard the statement, I need to get my priorities straight? You ever heard that? Okay, I almost ripped that out of there. By definition, priorities doesn't really make sense. Because by definition, priority is the single most important thing. We say, let me get my priorities straight. What does that mean? Let me develop the ability to juggle a whole lot of things that I say are important. Does that sound like we're going to get rest from that? We're going to restore from that? That's the crazy thing. Sabbath itself, this concept of rest and time with God and restoring and refreshing ourselves, that is our priority. That is our primary pursuit. This is an illustration I saw. I've seen this over the years. I remember a guy that used to do a teen camp that I went to a few times, and he would do this. It's a very simple illustration. Basically, he would do this. He would take some kind of jar, fill it with something. This is just some sand that we had around here. These are ping pong balls. And this is how he would explain this idea of how God can realign our lives is if we rest appropriately, right? Let's call these, the ping pong balls, first things. These are things that we should prioritize our life with, okay? Let's call the sand second things. These are things that are not as important. So how do we take time in this point of rest to make sure that the first things get done and the second things that are maybe not as important, they fall into the right place? Because if we just rush and rush and rush, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but what I end up handling a lot is secondary things. Busy work is what tends to occupy your time unless you take time to rest and really plan and schedule out. I'm going through a season in my life right now. I'm trying to completely reschedule my life because I want to get the first things for God done in my service to Him. If our life gets prioritized with the wrong things first, the secondary things go first, then when we drop the first things in, here's what happens. What's that, 4, 5, 6 don't fit in, right? But if you do the same thing, you can put, if we take time to realign our lives, and we take time to prioritize, and we put first things first, and we let God work through those. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't see because the glass is blurred. So that's 6, right? Okay? We got 6 there. Now watch this. I'll clean this up later. Somebody's concerned about that. Look, watch this. Same thing. Got all that room left. Isn't that crazy? Because if we rest and we restore in Jesus, like He is our rest, and we prioritize Him, and we take time to ask these questions of our life, and we take a break, we stop things, and we give focus and attention to Him. And then all of a sudden, He lays out all these things. He says, okay, now we're communicating. Now we're talking. Now the doors are opening up, and I can speak to you about what's going on in your life. So I'm going to show you how you can take the first and most important things, get those done, all the details will work out around it, and guess what? Here's my rest still at the top. Isn't that crazy? And that's the order God wants to bring to our life. But tired and exhausted, we're just going to remain out of order. We're going to have got a bunch of details done, not quite finished the most important things, with zero time to rest at the end. Matthew 6:33 says this. This is out of Jesus' word. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The Sabbath will realign all of the second things as well as the first things. Now again, please don't listen to this and say that the concept that I'm trying to be pushed to here is that I got to take Sunday off, I got to take more time off. No. The concept again is that the rest that we want to enter into, we're going to talk about here in just a second, is the rest that comes when we take time and we devote it to Jesus Christ. Maybe that for you will be a Sunday. Maybe your schedule doesn't allow for it to be a Sunday. But God has given us plenty of time to maturely, as a Jesus follower, say, I've got to find that time, and I've got to begin to devote it to Him. Third thing is this. This idea of Sabbath, this idea of rest, preserves our identity. I want you to hear about what Jesus says about the Sabbath. It's so funny because so many places, Jesus is confronted with what He did on the Sabbath. Isn't that awesome? People try to pick fights with Jesus about what He was doing on their Sabbath day, right? So in my mind, I'm like, I bet you Jesus would have mowed His grass on Sunday, right? Not really. They didn't have a whole lot of grass around there, by the way. But they came at Him all the time, complaining. Because why? He was healing people on the Sabbath. He was doing all this stuff. Jesus rarely did anything. He never did anything for Himself as a physical need. On the Sabbath, He did stuff to glorify God. He did stuff to show people who He was and who God was. The Sabbath preserves our identity. Mark 2, this is Jesus. It says, then He told them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. See, if you want to start figuring out, because I'm trying to figure this out myself too, am I resting in the right ways? This is the question that I ask about myself. This verse says, first, that Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. So if I understand that right, this is what this means. That Sabbath was a gift that God gave to me. You know what other gift God gave to me? My salvation in Jesus Christ. So if I treat this time of rest like a gift, then I'm valuing it. Am I valuing the rest that I'm taking? And if I value it, I'm not wasting it. I'm not just napping through it. I'm not sleeping through it. I'm taking it and saying, okay, God, what can I get done in this period of time with You that will refresh me, that I can ask You some questions and get some answers, that I can feel literally refreshed because You've breathed life into me. That all these things are going on. I feel free. I feel free because I've given You lordship of my life and You're in control and I'm trusting You to take care of details that I keep messing up. Am I valuing it? Am I taking time, God, to focus on you and your word and to hear from you? Am I getting something out of it? Am I valuing the gift that he's given me? He says that we weren't made for the Sabbath. That would mean this. If it's me made for the Sabbath, that means that I'm following its rules. Like if the rule is to rest, then I just sit around and I'm just goofing off. I'm going places that are fun. I'm just doing all that stuff. I'm following it's being dictated to me what I'm going to do on that day. Whatever comes up, I just have to go and do. If I'm valuing it, I'm doing the right thing. If I'm following whatever just drags me in its direction, then I'm not giving time to God. I'm losing focus. The other part of that verse says this, that it says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Is Jesus Lord of what I'm doing during this rest period? Is he getting the primary focus? Is he getting the primary attention while I'm resting? Now for me, this is how I do rest and restoration. Most of the time, what I'll do is I will try to remove myself from everybody. Because a lot of what I do on a normal basis involves interaction between me and other people. And it happens so much that I get drawn into conversations a lot, and if I'm not careful, I will get drawn just into another conversation, another situation. So I have to remove myself from other people. I have to turn my phone off. I have to just leave my phone in another room somewhere so I'm not constantly checking it. I'm sure I'm the only person that constantly checks their phone, right? So I have to disconnect myself because I have to remove all distractions before I sit down and read a book or I read the Bible or I just sit and just say, okay, God, there's just some things that are going through my mind and my emotions right now that I just need to talk to you about. I have to remove myself from that. That's how I do it. My method may not work for you. You may be alone all the time, and you may say, you know what, I have to get around people. I need to go to a busier place. I need to engage in some more stuff as I'm doing. That's fine. But again, is Jesus Lord of what you're doing? Is he getting the primary focus and attention? Because he is our identity. Verse 13, it's so odd. It almost seems out of place, but notice, this is how the writer kind of ends this section. It says, no creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give an account. The writer here writes in this idea that we're like Adam and Eve back at creation. Sinners, naked before God in our guilt, in our sin, and it's because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us in our place by dying for our sins that we even have this opportunity to rest. He is our identity. All the other stuff that I'm filling my life up with, every promotion that we try to get at work, everything that we try to get done with our family to make our house or our family look pretty and put together and nice and perfect, when in reality we feel like it's falling apart, everything that I'm trying to build and get done in my life, that's not my identity. My identity must be found in Jesus Christ. And just being able to rest in my own heart, in my own life, concretes that to say, yes, that's my identity. That's why I can rest. That's why I can stop. Because think about it like this. If your identity is in your family, you're never going to stop from running from ball game to ball game to ball game to school to school to school to do this to do that. You feel like you got to be at everything and the kids got to look perfect and you got to put the perfect image out there because your identity is in your family. So if your family don't look put together, if it looks like it's falling apart, then you have failed. If that's where your identity is, then it's not in Jesus, and that person will likely never fully rest. If my identity is in being a pastor, then I will call and I will push and I will set appointments and I will counsel and I'll be at everything and I will try to put my name out there on social media and I'll try to comment on every comment and I'll do all this stuff because I've got to keep myself out there. I've got to connect with people. I can't let anybody down. And if I do that, my identity is just in being a pastor, that I won't rest because my identity is not in Jesus as just me, Derek, being a Jesus follower. Because if I'm just a Jesus follower, then I got to trust him that God can do more in the lives of all of us than I can ever do myself. I cannot minister to every problem. And if I try to work through until I do that, I'll exhaust myself and I'll ruin my family. Only God can minister to every problem and every need. If I try to just get to the peak of whatever ladder that's in front of me, whether it's a job or school or whatever it is, there will always be somebody that busts a rung out from underneath me or somebody that jumps over top of me. If that's my identity, what happens when I get to the top? Does that mean that I'm the best that I'll ever be? That I can't be any better than what I am? And I'll start to feel guilty and frustrated and threatened by the people that are underneath me. But if my identity is in Jesus, then I'm just free to love Him and love other people. I'll be honest with you. Well, let me read this quote. I wrote this down in my notes. It says this. It says, the fact that we get to rest is a reminder of who we are. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I could tag a lot of names onto myself. And I figured this out at this point in my life. None of those things want me to rest. Does it make sense? I got three sons. They don't want me to rest. Joker's out to get me. Right? You can't do enough for your kids. Have your kids ever came up to you? Maybe they have. If your kids have ever completely, I want you to write a book. I make fun of books that people buy about raising kids, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but if you're buying those books, stop it. I'll write a book, and you can buy my book. It's on how to stop buying ignorant books, right? So, I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. You can go buy them if you feel led to now after I just broke our relationship up. Maybe you've come to a place in your life where your kids have said, you know what, Mom, Dad, gosh, you have become the perfect parent. See, don't almost believe this mess. You become the perfect parent. I don't need anything else. I'm good. Good. You just go rest. Forever. You know when they say that? When they're trying to get you to go to heaven. Right? Maybe you've got a job where the boss comes up and goes, you know what? You're awesome. I need you to work less hard. Right? Maybe you got a spouse or you're in a relationship with somebody that comes to you and says, you know what? I've been too needy. I would like for you to ignore me. Just rest. Right? Maybe this is the perfect church where we all come in and we don't expect anything of each other. We don't need to be prayed for. We don't need to be called and checked on. We don't need any of that stuff. We're good. Everybody just go home and rest. Right? Anybody live in that world? No. And I'll be honest with you. This is one of the hardest sermons. I really, as I'm standing here right now, I feel like I've just ruined that whole message. Seriously? Y'all laughed at that? Like, that was the one y'all laughed at? Of some of my stuff that y'all have just let pass since I've been here. Y'all laughed. Okay, that's fine. Get over it. I really have struggled studying this week. It's not because I don't understand the concept. It's because I truly don't know how to fully, completely rest and restore myself. I've really struggled with this. I have studied. I've just tried to make points. I've tried to get Scripture to fall into the right place. And every time I do, you know what happens? I feel like I've got to hurry up and finish because there's something else I've got to do. Ironic, I know. And even right now, I understand we took time to worship this morning and praise God for that. But right now, you know what's happening? We're already moving on to the next thing. Some of y'all so freaked out, y'all going to miss a pregame something. Somebody's alarm just went off. Pregame. Either that or it's time to cut the crock pot off. I wonder what people think that actually listen to this online. A friend of mine called me the other day. He said, man, I talked to a guy that works in Graham at some car dealership. And he said, I was talking about church. And he said, we got on the subject of how my church was going. And I told him that that we used to be in church together and now you're pastoring another church. And he said, what's his name? And he told me, he said, is that Reedy Fork Community Church? He's like, yeah, how do you know? He said, and he like quoted some stuff from a service that we had posted online. I'm like, that is freaky. Bet you he stops listening today. Man, I don't know who you are. I don't even know why I'm looking up here because he's not there. I don't know. Bless you and Graham. I'll be better next week, I promise. But listen, in all seriousness, like this illustration, right, that illustration, this scripture, I get it. It's all true, but I struggle with it. And I'm betting that we all do. But here's the thing. If everything I said was just totally disorganized, I want you to listen to this, and I want you to think about this clearly while we go into this time of worship. So if the praise band will come, go ahead and come back up. I know that our service today has been a little bit longer, and I appreciate your patience. Every week, I promise you, I always say that I'm going to do better. And I interrupted the service. That's my fault. Think about this for a second. I know they're coming up. I just want you to focus on this question. In fact, just close your eyes for a second. Do this with me. I want you to think about this. Everything I know that I just said was true because it comes from God's word. But what happens if we don't follow it? What good will exhausted, burned out, short-fused Jesus followers be? That's scary. What happens if I do not figure out how to give, not carve out time, but give God some of a day of my week to rest and restore? What good will I be for anybody else in my life? What will become of our kids and our families and our parents and everybody in our church if we continue running the rat race that the world and our culture is pacing us for? Because the insane thing is that God wants to prove in our lives that if we will give Him time and hear His voice, not take a nap, but to just focus on Him and ask Him questions and wait for answers and read His word and give Him time, whether your Sabbath is one whole block of time or you have carved out specific Sabbath rest and refresh time every day that you live or however that works, if we do that, what then can happen? All I can tell you is that exhaustion is getting me nowhere. Amen. And please don't take me wrong. I am not standing up here to say today that there's anything about this ministry that is overtaxing me. I love this church. I love you. But here's the thing. I'm a horrible pastor if I can't show that God will work in our lives and He'll do more and multiply my time when I use it for Him, but then I also rest in Him, that I will if I try to get it done all the time. Because I can promise you, you do not want to go to the church that I lead. I promise you, you don't want to be there. You don't want to give to that ministry. You don't want to serve in that ministry. You don't want to join that ministry. You want to leave that ministry. But if this is a ministry that God leads because we're rested and refreshed in Him, then what will my week look like? As Dale begins to play and sing in just a second, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the life that God is calling you to, the door that He's wanting to open to say, rest in Me. Have your identity in Me. Allow Me to be who you are and who you're becoming. Allow Me to align your priorities because you've listened to Me enough to where we're on the same page. Stop trying to keep up. Stop trying to try out. Stop trying to do it all on your own. Two simple words that are really not simple. Rest and refresh. Rest and restore. I hope that this service on a weekly basis is part of that, but it's not enough. It's not. It takes more time than this. We've got to figure out how we're going to give God more time than this. God, thank You so much for the time that we've had in here today, Lord. God, I pray that we've honored You with the time that we've had, Lord. I know that we've worshiped You. We've worshiped longer. We've listened, God. But Lord, it is all for You. God, every moment that we spend for you is worth it, God. Thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us with your word. God, in my heart, you've convicted me this week because I knew that, God, you put a sermon on my heart that I don't get well enough myself. And you know, God, in my heart, I've struggled to put this together because, God, probably I've just tried to put it together. But, God, your word is true. God, you've created this rest, this rest that you say, God, it's for us to enter into. In verse 1 and verse 11, God, you just say that if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Lord, help us to not miss it this week. God, help us to find you in quiet moments of our life, to stop what we do and what we're trying to get done and to focus on you. God, right now as this song plays, if there's someone, God, that's just exhausted and tired and they want to come up and pray, God, I pray that they will be moved to pray, that we will pray with them, Lord, if that's what your Spirit leads us to do. But God, I pray, God, that we begin to be worshipers of you, but God, we begin to be people that rest and restore ourselves, God, in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.